I'm good to see as well how there's conflict in the church, conflict in our relationships, but ultimately we're going to see the bigger picture. And nothing should stop us from being committed to God, no matter the conflict. So we'll be looking today in the next part of Acts, in Acts 16. And just to clarify, right, as we look through the book of Acts, it's not necessarily about just the Acts of the Apostles. Right? In your Bible, it's called the book of Acts. Maybe it's also called the Acts of the Apostles. But this is not really just about man. Right? This is not about how awesome man can be when he tries his best. Right? This book is about how the Holy Spirit works through men and women, and how it uses them to do incredible things for God's kingdom.
Come on.
Right? So it's not about people. It's about what God can do through us and what he can do for us today. And so, turn with me to Acts 16 and we'll read.
Brandon.
A cool concept as well is also in John 16, verse 7. You might see that if you want to. But it says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And I love that concept that he has today. He can't help the whole world at the same time. But the spirit that we have in us today, that is what enables us to do great things. So Jesus is gone, but now we have an advocate. And just a reminder as well, the book of Acts references the Holy Spirit the most amount of times out of any book in the whole Bible. 64 times. So we're really talking about the Spirit and what it can do. Right, so let's read Acts 16, verse 1 to 10. It reads, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. But they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, Come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Right? Really cool passage. Before we get into it, let's pray, and then we'll dig into the scriptures. Let's pray. Dear Father, God, we are just so grateful to be together this morning. Father, together, Father, we worship you. We're so grateful that you've created us, that you've given us a life that we can enjoy it, and appreciate both the highs and lows in our life. God, I pray that today, however we come before you, Father, we leave with an inspired spirit to follow the Spirit, God, and to really see where it's leading us in our life. I pray, God, that we listen to the words from your Bible. We listen to what you're trying to say to us, God, and we really take it to heart, God. We love you. Thank you for your son and his example. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so as we kind of talked about last week, the disciples have this verdict. There's been a lot of controversy about circumcision because the Jews believed if you really wanted to become a Christian, you have to be circumcised first for the men. And so for them, it was all part, they needed to keep some of the Old Testament. And so they write this letter and they send... They have this meeting, and at the meeting they decide, well, there's certain things which we need to keep from the Old Testament. So in Acts 15, verse 29, it reads, these are the things which they agreed on. It says, you are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. So these are all Old Testament Levitical things. And as I talked about last week, the sexual immorality wasn't just normal sexual immorality like lust or these things. It was about keeping the marriage laws. You're not allowed to marry your brother or your sister or your cousin. Keeping those laws from the Old Testament to still keep the people pure, I guess. And I'm not seeing there, verse 4 to 5 in Acts 16, the people, when they hear what the church has come up with, they're not complaining. Right? But they're grateful and they're strengthened and they continue to grow. Right? Because the decision made, ultimately they make it as a church and they move forward, which is encouraging. And so today I have 2 points. My first point for today is we need to have Christ-centered hearts. If we want to follow the Spirit, if we want to be like these people in the book of Acts, we need to have Christ-centered hearts. And it'll kind of be split into 2 sections, the lesson for that first point. First, I'll be talking about if you have a Christ-centered heart, you will be willing to do anything.
Come on.
And the second part will be about you're also willing to go anywhere. And we'll see that here. Because if you're willing to do anything and willing to go anywhere, that is when the Spirit will start to work in your life. Not when we're doing things out of comfort or repetition. And I love seeing him here at Paul's. It's amazing, right? He's gone there and he's debated with people. And he comes back and what is it? The first thing he does is he sees Timothy and he said, look, man, you need to get circumcised. Isn't that just incredible to see? Like, he had just debated, okay, you guys don't need to be circumcised. And he turns around and he circumcises someone. Mm-hmm. You think, what are you doing, Paul? Aren't you just kind of like totally owning yourself? Have you just wrecked your own point by then doing the very thing which you said not to do? Paul's view was circumcision wasn't necessary for salvation. But what did he did want to do was he wanted to help the Jewish people's faith. He wanted to help them. He was willing to do anything so that the gospel wasn't hindered. You know, verse 3, it says here, Paul wanted to take Timothy along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So Paul wanted Timothy to be circumcised so the Jews would listen and his ministry would be acceptable. And so he was willing to make some compromises on his faith to help someone else's faith. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. And he doesn't just write that, he lives it. And he encourages other people to live that. That if we want to do amazing things for God, if things are going to happen in the kingdom, we need to be willing to do anything to advance his gospel. Right? So things we see in Paul is that with the non-essential things that aren't necessarily sin or something like that, or the things that could hurt people's consciences, he was flexible and moldable. But things which were important, like doctrine or salvation, those things he held his ground very firm. He didn't, okay, well look, you guys believe this, you guys believe this, let's all come together and let's be family. You can circumcise people if you want, but we won't circumcise people, we won't agree. That's kind of how the world is today.
Yeah.
But Paul says, no, with salvation, that's important. But with the non-essentials, hey, we're willing to do anything to help someone's faith. For example, you know, I think two kind of examples I can think of was something like alcohol. By alcohol today, you know, if you read the scriptures, you know, there's scriptures in the Old Testament which say, don't drink alcohol. But they're normally taken out of context. And the people who use those scriptures don't actually follow the scriptures in the above it and below it. They just take one scripture they want. But for us, alcohol's okay, but just be careful with it. But some people who struggle with alcohol, right? Okay, be willing to help their faith. Don't drink around it.
Yeah.
Don't bring alcohol to a party if you know there's a brother there who struggles.
Yep.
That's a principle you're trying to help someone else's faith. Also, something which I find interesting, we went on a Hope Youth Corps to India. And over there was, afterwards, I found out these two people there, they were dating. And I was like, wow, I didn't see them any physical contact. I didn't see them. They weren't acting like a dating couple. And for the dating couples, when they go to India from the Western world, in the church, they don't act like they're dating because it's kind of something to the culture which makes them struggle. So when disciples go there, part of these Hope Youth Corps, and it happens all the time, I think even though when they went to Nepal this year, dating couples, yeah, they don't act like they're dating at these places to help their brother's faith.
Amen.
So those are the kind of things where we're willing to do anything to not hinder each other.
Yeah.
Right? So hopefully we can take that attitude moving forward. But I believe that Timothy had another attitude that he was willing to do anything. You know, You might be asking, all right, who is this guy, Timothy? We learned that his mother was Jewish and believes, as it says here in Acts 16, but his father was a Greek. And it uses the word was a Greek. He commonly dead, his father, because he was a Greek. He isn't a Greek still. You can't lose your ethnicity. Sorry, if you want to change, it's always there. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, his mother's name was Eunice, his grandmother was Lois, and both of them are disciples. And hence why Timothy wasn't circumcised in the first place. And I love there in verse 2, it says that the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. So you see this guy Timothy, people like him. He's a good disciple. He's probably been a disciple for 5 years at this point, because Paul probably reached out to him on their first missionary journey. I think some people, they have great reputations of faith. They have great reputations of how they're so hospitable, they have great insight. And Timothy would have been known for his servitude in the church, maybe his generosity or his genuineness. Yet, it wasn't a facade. He didn't just look like a nice Christian. He was willing to do anything for the gospel. And I think the challenge for us this morning, the challenge for all of us to think about, do you have the same heart as Paul and Timothy? That you're willing to do absolutely anything for the gospel? Or is there something that you're holding on to? Something that takes place of God's place in your life? Because Timothy could have thought, man, what, Paul, come on, man, I've been doing this for 5 years. I don't need to do that. I don't need to get circumcised. That's not even a part of the gospel. He could have asked, is this really necessary? It's just painful. Yeah. Right, but Timothy, he has the faith, he does it, and then he doesn't just do it and stay where he is. He then leaves his home and never comes back. This guy is so courageous and so bold. Imagine if all of us in the church had the same attitude. We're all willing at any point to sacrifice something at personal cost. To leave our home, leave our families to serve the gospel. Because Jesus' standard isn't just, look, the really spiritual people, you guys need to give everything. But if you just kind of believe in God, you can do something a little lesser. Jesus has the same standard for the pastor, for the leaders, to the very least in the kingdom. We all have the same standard in Jesus. We're all expected to do anything for the gospel. Right? And the question is, are you willing to answer the call?
Come on.
I was reading a book last year. It wasn't that long ago, 2 months ago, but still last year. It's called Spiritual Leadership by J. Oswald Sanders. And he writes in it, why is our need for leaders so great? It faces the stringent demands of spiritual leadership and most unfortunately turn away. But God welcomes the few who come forward to serve. Even here in the Melbourne Church of Christ, we need people to stand up. We need people to serve. To make a difference. We need more full-time staff. We need more people willing to go to places which don't have a church yet. We need more deacons, more elders, so that our church can really grow and move forward. You know, the world is fiercely advancing and imposing its thoughts on us. And if we're not willing to do anything for the gospel, they will overtake us. If we're not fighting, believing, and having great faith, and willing to do anything, we'll be trampled. Already, you know, I mean, we're talking in a staff meeting on Tuesday, and, you know, venues are showing bias, and, oh, we don't really want a church group here. I mean, it's crazy. We're already experiencing things, and maybe it's going to get worse. But the question is, are you willing to do anything for the gospel? I was thinking about, you know, Megan and I were thinking about it. It's good to talk to your wife. For me, she helps me be a bit more deep. I kind of think too simply, so she has a bit more deeper thoughts. So I was thinking, you know, what are some of the hindrances which can stop us from having this attitude? And one thing that a brother in Sydney, his name's Jack, he was talking about was greed. Greed is a big thing in our church today, which kind of goes a little unnoticed. Right? Yeah. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me.
Come on.
Look at this idea of greed and how it stops us from doing anything for the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 5, reading there, it's verse 3. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3.
Come on.
It reads, "But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper of God's holy people." And this scripture is often used when we talk about purity. We say, look, you're not even meant to have it. What does a hint of sexual immorality look like? And we really camp on that. But it also says you're not even meant to have a little hint of greed. If you have a hint of greed, you've got to run, you've got to get rid of that, like you would sexual immorality. But I think too often greed slips through and slips under the radar in our lives, especially being here in a first world country. Greed makes us comfortable. It searches for deeper roots, more things, that new iPhone X, right? Which you know, people have opinions about that. But search house, a third house, a better car, more savings, a higher wage. And we get sucked into the trap of greed. And we don't recognize how that takes us away from having a Christ-centered heart.
Come on.
Because whatever it is that you're greedy about takes root and takes, you know, hold of you. And we mask greed in many different ways. We say, you know, I need to provide for my family, but really you have more than enough to provide for your family. You say, I need to put more money and then I can give more to the church, but really it's more about increasing your savings. You think if I do something radical, I won't have the best job or the nicest house. And so we sacrifice a Christ-centered heart for our greedy intentions. And I think as a church, man, we've got to repent. We have to see that greed slips in and it takes hold. I know even for me, materialism can easily get in there. You know, you think about, you know, the latest for me would be, you know, getting a new summer jersey or, you know, increasing my bank account. It just becomes this never-ending pursuit and you're never fulfilled. And I think that's something we have to stay away from. Another hindrance that stops us is the past. Not necessarily, I'm talking more about your spiritual past. You know, some of us, maybe we've been disciples for a few years or a lot of years. And we say, you know, I did a lot for God in the past. You know, when I was a part of the campus, or when I was single, or when I didn't have kids, or whatever it is, that's when I was really fired up for God. But at any stage in life, the call is still to have a Christ-centered heart.
Come on.
Are you willing to do anything? Just like the first day you got out of the water and you said, Jesus is Lord. Are you still willing to do anything for his kingdom? Or maybe you were part of the ICOC pre-2003. And you think, look, they were too radical, or, you know, they were too structured, or all this. And so now we swing to the other spectrum. Hey, they did some things back then which we could really use today. Be a bit more, you know, strong. The truth is, we still need to have Christ-centered hearts today.
Come
and
on.
You need to be willing to do anything, as Timothy did here in Acts. And because Timothy's life wasn't defined by that one time he did a really awesome thing. Yeah. It was a continual sacrifice of his will to God's will. You know, if Timothy was converted, like I said, he'd been a disciple for 5 years. And even at 5 years, he was like, yeah, I'm going to get circumcised and we're going to go on a mission team and we're going to go. Right? He doesn't just do that. Timothy helped Paul to establish the churches at Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Timothy was sent to Thessalonica to strengthen the faith of the believers there. He collected money from the church in Corinth. Timothy went to Macedonia. He sent to Philippi for readings. So Timothy was there with Paul, side by side, willing to do anything for the kingdom. Timothy ended up leading the church in Ephesus. And in Hebrews 13, it says that Timothy had been released from prison. So Timothy's life wasn't this amazing thing after he did everything for God. It wasn't like everything worked out peachy. But he continually made a decision, no matter what it is, I'm going to do anything, whatever it takes. And I believe that's the attitude we have to have today. Because we're not, Timothy, if he didn't take that first initial step, I doubt he would have continually made steps to follow God. But because he was willing to do it and persevere in it, his life was defined by that willing to do anything attitude. Right? And so the second thing I want to talk a little bit about is that we need to be willing to go anywhere. Could you ever be back to Acts chapter 16? From verse 6 to 10. We see from verse 6 to 10 another example of being willing to do anything. But in this case, they were willing to go anywhere. Now, it says that the Spirit stops them many times from going to different places. It stops them from entering Asia. Okay, that's not the Asia we think of today. We think of places like China, India, all those places. That's not Asia. They had a part of Asia, which is modern-day Turkey. Okay, and these are the places that they stopped Paul from entering. Although the church would start there eventually. It stopped them from entering Bithynia and Mysia, which is still kind of just north of that Asia area, which it talks about. And they go to this coastal town of Troas. And from Troas, they went from Troas to Macedonia. And Macedonia was the first place in Europe that they entered. Right? So we see that God is blocking them. No, you guys aren't going there. You guys aren't going there. You guys aren't going there. But you are going here. You are going to Europe to start the churches there. They must have been thinking during that time, where on earth is God taking us? Because it doesn't really say like how they were stopped or what stopped them from entering, but they were stopped. And they couldn't enter. And they must have been thinking, where is God taking me? I mean, how many times have you felt that in your life? Where is God taking me? What's going on here? And then for Paul, he has this dream, a vision of a man pleading with him to come to Macedonia. And it's their mindset, right? As soon as they got that vision, it says there, verse 10, that they got ready at once. It wasn't like they had to sit down and think about, look, I need a year to think about this decision. It was just like, look, God's calling us and we're going to go. We're going to preach the word. Six guys wanted to go there to preach the word. Mm. Their goal wasn't necessarily, we want to go there and experience the culture and understand things and just really enjoy the food. And, you know, we went to Bali and the food was awesome. We had some street food and no one else wanted to eat it except me because it was nice, but they used their bare hands. I know, they don't use gloves, some of them, they just use their bare hands. That was pretty scary, but anyway, the goal of it is not to. Yeah, the goal for them was to preach the word when they went. And so God, they needed to trust God that where He was leading them was where they needed to be. They needed, in order for us to have a heart that's willing to go anywhere,
come on,
we actually have to trust where God is taking us.
Yeah.
If you don't trust God, then you're not going to trust where He's taking you. Mm-hmm. If you don't look at your life and see God is leading me here, then you're not going to trust the bold steps that God requires of you. And I love being able to look back, right? I'm sure for all of us, we could look back in our lives and think, man, you know what? God was leading me to this place. Whether it be God was leading me to meet this person who studied the Bible with me, or He put me in Australia, or He put me in some other country at the perfect timing so that I would hear the gospel.
Mm.
Maybe you're here today and this is exactly where God wants you.
Yeah.
This is exactly how you can learn to love God.
Yeah.
Right? But if we don't trust Him, then we won't trust where He's taking us. Right? And sometimes looking forward, we can't really see, God, where are you taking us? Mm-hmm. Right? But for these guys, it wasn't like God had told them earlier, yeah, you guys go to Europe, it'll be awesome. They're traveling around, they don't really know what's going on. Right? Same for us. We don't really know where God's leading us, but we just need to trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
Trust that where He's leading us is best.
Because
When we look back, we can often see the doors that have been opened and shut in our lives. I know for me, many times, I've realized the doors that God has opened and shut afterwards. You know, I know that when I applied for uni, I had like a dream, like, oh yeah, I'd love to go to Monash, but the enter score is really, really high, so I don't think I'll be able to get into it. But I put it as my first preference anyway. And then my second one was Melbourne Uni, and I was like, yeah, I should be able to get into Melbourne because the enter score was lower for engineering. And I was like pretty convinced I would go to Melbourne Uni, but then when I got my first offer back, it said, you know what, you've been accepted into Monash. And I was like, oh, what? Like, I got underneath the ATAR score to get into that, but I got offered to study there. And I was like, what is going on? Maybe I should just go to Melbourne, because that's my plan now. Okay. And I took the uni degree at Monash, and at Monash, I really grew in my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only disciple there. It was a bit bit scary. And it was crazy, but it was amazing to see how God opened doors and people became disciples. And I learned so much being there. I learned what it meant to really help the weak. And it was amazing. But for us too, sometimes the doors that are open are not the doors we want. But the doors sometimes we need to step through. Even for Megan and I at the moment, as most of you know, we're planning on eventually moving to America if it works out. And obviously we love the church here in Melbourne, but you know, visas are another thing. You're kind of like, okay, what's going on here? I don't know how long this is going to take, or if we're going to get rejected, or whatever it is. But for us, it's a step of faith. Whatever happens, if God wants us to be here, or God wants us to be in America, amen. We're surrendered.
Yeah, come on.
And it's hard to surrender that, you know, because you want to know what's going on, you want to think about the future. They've got to be surrendered. And I think for all of us here today, are you surrendered for where God is leading? And are you willing to go anywhere where God wants to take you?
Yeah, come on.
Because for us, either we're trusting in God or we're trusting in ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we trust in ourselves, God's Spirit can't work through us. And we become selfish and greedy in the way that we live. The hindrance is that stop us, as I said, we don't trust God and we're not surrendered. And it's easy for us in this room to think about, yeah, I know a brother who doesn't trust God. I know a brother who's not willing to go anywhere. I know a sister who's not willing to do anything for Jesus. But you have to think about for your own life.
Yeah.
It's about you. Are you willing to go anywhere? Are you willing to do anything for God? Don't think about someone else. Because first and foremost, do you have that attitude? Because God's standard is not for everybody else, but it's for you. First and foremost. And so are you surrendered to God's will for your life? You know, I love being a part of this trip. I love to see that, you know, last year the Adelaide church was planted. We're having a staff retreat this weekend, and Rowan and Emma, the leaders of the church in Adelaide, will be with us. And just amazing to see, you know, they're baptizing people. And our church, you know, we went to Indonesia. They have plans every year to send out a mission team.
Come on.
And I think the people in this room, we can't get comfortable. If you're comfortable here in Melbourne and you're not willing to move, that's not the right attitude to have. Timothy had been a disciple for 5 years. Paul, who knows how long, right? But he was willing to go anywhere. If someone asked you to go somewhere, would you be willing? Willing to get through a door which you're not sure about. Right? And I think that's the call for all of us. At any moment in time, we need to be willing to go anywhere. Sacrifice our plans here in Melbourne. Right? Melbourne's awesome. It is. Right? But the world needs Jesus. This place is in our region which hasn't been planted. Some of the island nations. More churches in New Zealand, more in Australia. We need people in this room, maybe in the future, to step up and go.
Come on.
Are you willing to have that attitude? Because we can't just go with the flow, as people say today. You know, it says there in verse 10 of Acts 16, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. And concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. They concluded that this was where God was leading them. They looked at their life, they saw what was happening, and they said, you know what? God's taking us here. Right? Where is God taking you? What's happening in your life which shows you where you need to go? Think about, get advice. They talked about it. It wasn't just Paul's decision. He says there that we decided that's where God was taking us. Where is God taking the Melbourne Church of Christ? Where is he taking you? And do you have a Christ-centered heart that's willing to do or go anywhere? Right? And even if you're a visitor here today, you might be thinking, well, I don't really believe in God. So I don't really want to do anything for him or go anywhere for him. I'm happy where I am. But this does matter. You know, for us as humans, we're so finite. You know, we don't have control over anything, right? You can't determine your race. You can't determine what age you were born in, whether it was the 2000s or the 1800s. You can't determine that. You can't determine your what you're going to look like. You can't determine if you're an extrovert or an introvert. There's so many things that you don't have control over. Right? And so God made us. And you need to be willing to look into the scriptures. I encourage you to talk to someone, ask them to study the Bible. And they'll show you what God's plan is for your life. See what God has to offer and the direction he gives, because we're so finite. We can't trust in mere man. Amen. Second, shortly and lastly, in order to have a Christ-centered heart, we also, the second point is, Jesus is our example. Like what it really looks like to have that kind of heart. To have a heart that's truly centered on God. I mean, Jesus literally embodies willing to do anywhere, willing to do anything, and willing to go anywhere. He lived on earth. He didn't really have a home when he was on his mission. He said things to people, challenged their lives. He was willing to do anything of what this looks like. He was willing to even go to the place he would be crucified, even though he knew he was going to be crucified there. He was so willing to go even somewhere he was going to die. Would you be willing to do that? I don't know, it'd be hard for me, but it's crazy. Think about Jesus when you're thinking about, man, should I live a Christ-centered life? Jesus did. And he changed the world we know today.
Yeah.
Whether you believe in Jesus or not, he has had a profound impact on history. And that's what a God-centered life can do for us. And he died not so that we can be comfortable, and not so that we can all just to have all the things and be happy. He died so that people could be saved. He died to set people free from sin, from their addictions to porn, from their addictions to drugs, from their addictions to self, insecurities, to pride. And maybe for you, you're struggling with those things at the moment. I encourage you to think about having a Christ-centered heart, living like Jesus did, because the motivation behind why we live Christ-centered lives is purely because God demonstrated his love for us on the cross. That's the only reason. If there's any reason you should live for God, that's the only reason. He loves you. He died for you. That's all we need to know. And that changes the way we live. I know for me, I grew up going to church, but I never wanted to be a Christian. Right? Sorry, Mom and Dad. It's me. In all honesty, I thought some of the people around me were hypocrites. I thought, they're not really living for God. And I wanted to live how I wanted. Obviously, I was very self-righteous and prideful. But no matter what I did, or even if I got what I wanted in life, I would still feel empty. Right? Whether it was girls at school or, I always wanted to be the funniest, the class clown. And even when I got that, it wasn't fulfilling. But it wasn't until I recognized, man, I'm a sinner. I'm hurting the people around me. I'm a bad son, a bad friend to my friends. Just a bad guy in general. It wasn't until I recognized that that I really saw, man, I need God. Hopefully for you today, as we take the bread and the wine, think about your example of Jesus. If you want to have a Christ-centered heart, be grateful for his example. See how he lived. Reflect on that. And serve God no matter what, and no matter what it takes. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. If we claim to be Christians, prove it. Live as Jesus did. Be willing to do anything. Be willing to go anywhere. As we take attention, his body was broken for us. His skin was torn. The blood, as we drink the wine. Think about what he went through. Not so that you could be comfortable, but so that you could make an impact on the world. So that you could have the Spirit. Think about these things. Let's remember that we need to be willing to do anything and go anywhere. Even though we chose the life of sin, Jesus died for you. You alone. What an incredibly loving God we have, and how that should change of your life. Let's pray for the bread and wine. Our dear Father, Lord, we love the example here in the book of Acts. To see men, young men, old men, Father, willing to do anything and go anywhere for you. I pray, Father, that as we think about Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, we consider, Father, just how sinful we are. And how, Father, we don't have the right heart sometimes. We don't have a Christ-centered heart. But I pray, Father, we can see his love for us and be inspired to have that kind of heart. Be willing to make an impact on the world at personal cost. I just thank you, God, that you gave us that example, just that you took away our sins, even when, Father, we didn't care about you. We didn't even know you. And we're so grateful, Father, your love was unconditional, Father, even when we were the biggest of sinners. I pray as we take the bread and the wine, we'll really be impacted and just really think about you, God. So we love you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.